That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Have you ever heard someone say, hey, can you just leave your Bible out of this conversation for just a second? Can we just look at the facts? How about, can we just be objective, meet on common ground? Let's start from neutral ground. Well, this kind of thinking sounds reasonable and might even sound fair, right? After all, isn't it just good manners to keep our opinions to ourselves? And in our current culture that tells us we got to be tolerant of everyone else, that we should adopt the UBU mantra for all things, and that we should just let your truth be your truth and my truth be my truth, we get this mindset of neutrality of thought pressed in on us from pretty much every front. But here's the real question. Is it even possible to think neutrally? Is there such a thing as common ground? And if we leave our Bibles out of it, what are the implications for us as Christians? Let me just warn you, this discussion is going to be a little bit challenging. But if you want to live the better way, you have to be rooted in the right foundation. And that starts with what or who we believe has the final say. I've been reading this book called Always Ready by Greg Bahnsen, and here's what he says about neutral thinking. He says that neutrality of thought is an illusion, that there's no such thing as neutrality. He says, the myth of neutrality is one of the most deceptive yet commonly accepted ideas in our culture today. It tells us that we can evaluate truth apart from God, but God's word does not allow for that. The idea of neutrality is a myth. No one is really neutral. We all come to the table with ultimate commitments. In other words, what Dr. Bahnsen's saying is everyone has a worldview. Everyone has a lens they're looking through. So when someone says, let's just set aside religion and be objective, what they really mean is set aside your authority and accept mine. Because neutrality sounds really nice, but it's actually a way of pushing God out of the conversation. And as Christians, we can't go along with that. The idea that we can come to truth apart from God who is truth, it's not just misguided, it's sinful. And we've got to wake up to this. But I think part of the wake-up call is to determine why this is such a big deal. Why we can't just blow this off and go along with the culture on this. We've got to figure out why this is important, why we've got to understand as believers, as followers of Christ, we cannot be neutral, no matter what the culture says. Neutrality is not an option, not when it comes to truth, because the Bible does not tell us to leave our faith at the door. It actually commands just the opposite. And this isn't just for Christians. This is actually reality for everyone. In fact, Romans 1 tells us that unbelievers aren't neutral at all in their thinking. They're actively suppressing the truth of God in unrighteousness. So let's talk about why Scripture must be our ultimate authority and why the idea of neutrality of thought isn't just false, it's dangerous. Now, if you were to go do a quick Google search on the theological arguments against neutrality, you're going to find all kinds of stuff. You're going to find reference to the noetic effect of sin. And this is just the idea that the original sin that we're all born with, that we all inherit from Adam, that this impacts our minds. It impacts our ability to reason. So the human mind isn't and can't be a neutral starting point because it's corrupted by sin. You might also see some arguments about the doctrine of creation, that God's the one who made everything, that even our thoughts are under God's ownership and for his glory. So because God is the creator, it's impossible to be neutral. You're either hostile against God or you're obedient to him. Romans 8:7, sinful nature is always hostile to God and it never did obey God's laws and it never will. So an unbelieving mind is always in this state of active rebellion. So we've got two sides of thought that can't be neutral. And really, our thoughts are moral actions. We are called as Christians to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. So we have to be faithful in thought. Neutrality is impossible, and it's a myth. So if neutrality is a myth, where should we start? Where do we go to get a standard, a starting point that honors God? Well, as with everything else, we have to start with God's word, because it's not just true, it's the foundation of all truth. Dr. Bonson puts it like this: the Christian does not try to prove the Bible by appealing to autonomous human reason. Instead, he begins with the Bible to critique and correct human reason. In other words, we don't use human logic to judge God's word. We actually use God's word to judge human logic, which means no room for neutrality here. And I know that sounds really bold, but y'all, it's the only consistent foundation for truth, because if we don't start with the word of God, we're starting with something less than, something that's broken, that's insufficient. So what's the alternative to neutrality? Well, first off, it's not blind faith. It's not irrational belief. We're not just going along blindly. This is an intentional trusting in the self-attesting authority of God himself. Now, what do I mean by that? The self-attesting authority of God himself. Well, this just means that God gets to say what's true. He doesn't need our approval. He doesn't wait on worldly philosophers to figure it out and give him permission to be true. He doesn't wait on scientific discoveries or some kind of peer review to place him in the winner's circle. God speaks, and it is. His word is truth. His word is the ultimate authority, because he is the ultimate authority. He is truth. God is. He embodies truth. He created everything out of nothing. And as we said just a few minutes ago, as the creator God, he's the only one who gets to have the final say. It is because he says it is. Bonson again, he puts it like this: God's word carries its own evidence. It is self-attesting, not in the sense of circular reasoning, but because there's no higher authority to which it can appeal. Let that sink in for just a second. Let me reread that, because this is super important. God's word is self-attesting because there's no higher authority to which it can appeal. Think about that. If God had to appeal to something or someone outside himself to prove that he's truth, then that thing would be God, because it would be the ultimate authority, the ultimate say-so. But God doesn't have to. He doesn't have to appeal to something outside of himself, because he's not just a source of truth. He's the source of truth. He is the truth. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." And in the New Testament, Luke 16:17, "But it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." And that reference to the law is a reference to God's word, to the Old Testament. Jesus, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. And then just a couple chapters later in John 17, he says, "Your word is truth," in verse 17. We're talking authority here, guys. This is eternal, divine authority that's unshakable, immovable, unchanging. And if you get down to the nitty gritty, this is the kind of authority we need. Who needs shifting opinions of man and human reasoning that change from one second to the other? We need the word of God that endures forever. Well, Dr. Bonson is not the only voice for truth on this subject. It's actually been discussed by a bunch of other scholarly, smarter than the average bear guys for centuries. Cornelius Van Til, he was one of the guys that actually influenced Dr. Bonson a bunch, and he rejected the idea of neutral thought too. He was around from the late 1800s until the mid-1980s and spent most of his 100 years on this earth on this subject. He argued that neutrality of thought is impossible because of what he called the antithesis between Christian and non-believer. There was no way to find neutral ground because the unbeliever starts with autonomous human reason and rejects God's authority from the outset. That's their starting point. But the Christian, on the other hand, starts from a place of a presupposition that God is the authority and that Scripture is the ultimate authority for our lives. So Van Til just gave the groundwork for this idea of thought that neutrality is a myth. And he actually said that neutrality is a betrayal of the lordship of Christ over all areas of life. So as we're talking today and thinking through Dr. Bahnsen's train of thought, Cornelius Van Til, and just the idea that we can see easily that the Bible tells us that neutrality of thought is sinful, I know that might sound really harsh, but we've got to say what's loving and what's true, because when we pretend we can be neutral, we're actually being unkind and unloving. And not only that, we're putting man in the judgment seat and God on the witness stand. We're acting like God has to prove to us. He has to bring evidence to earn our trust, to prove that he is truth. But that's upside down. God doesn't wait for our verdict. He is the verdict. His word is truth because he is truth. He is the judge and the jury and the verdict giver.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. She's pressing into why neutral isn't actually neutral. And this is something worth hearing and listening to today. Something else that's worth looking into. It's a simple place. It's a place that'll help you keep thinking clearly when this episode of The Better Way stops, and that is Fortis Plus. It's where all of Libby's episodes live. It's where all of our content actually lives together. And it's absolutely free of charge. There's no paywall that's waiting for an end-of-the-month charge to your credit card. Nothing like that. When you open it up, you're going to find hundreds of hours of content sitting there waiting for you to consume. And the best part, that content, it's not static content, meaning we add to it every single day. And everything that you're going to find on Fortis Plus is completely, totally biblical and rooted in a Christian worldview. So you can download it right now on your smartphone by going to your app store, wherever it is that you download your apps. Or if you prefer the big screen, it's also now on most smart TVs. Just search for Fortis Plus again in your streaming app store. Now, let me tell you why it's free. It's free because we have been working extremely hard to get to this point where we could offer our content for free. We haven't always been able to do that, but that has always been the desire of this ministry. We choose not to charge for any of the content that you're hearing or that you happen to watch. Instead, there are people out there just like you who have decided to give to this ministry so that anyone can listen or watch without a cost. And those people, we call them gospel partners. Our gospel partners have been impacted by the content that we've been producing over the last 25 years and at some point made the decision, you know what? I want to help them be able to get this content out to more people all over the world. And so we would be honored if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, that's only if you're already giving to your local church first, because as we always tell you, giving to your local church is your number one giving priority as a Christian. And if you are faithfully doing that and you have the margin where you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we want you to start praying about it. Talk to your spouse about it and go to fortisinstitute.org and find the answers to your questions. See what it would look like in your life to join us. We would definitely be honored to link arms with you. Well, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
So neutrality of thought, what are we supposed to do with that as Christians? Is it possible to come from a place where our thoughts are totally neutral, objective, having no influence from anything around us or in us or what we believe or what we hold valuable? We have established pretty clearly that neutrality of thought is impossible, not just for the Christian, but for the unbeliever too. specifically for the Christian, we've been talking through Greg Bahnsen's idea of the self-attesting authority of Scripture. And he's right. God's word is true, not just because we agree with it, but because he spoke it. And he is the ultimate authority. And as Christians, we're called to submit to that word with joy. We're supposed to submit fully without hesitation because of the one who gives the word to us. So for the follower of Christ, neutrality isn't just impossible, it's disobedient. When we pretend like we can lay aside God's word to meet the world halfway, that's betrayal. It's compromise. And Jesus didn't come to be part of a larger worldview. He came to be Lord over it. Matthew 12, verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me. So there's no neutral zone. There's no Switzerland in the spiritual war for truth. We're either standing on the rock of God's revelation, or we're standing on the sinking, shifting sand of human autonomy. So what does this mean for us practically? How do we approach the idea of neutral thought and be faithful to God's word? Well, it means that Scripture's not just our back pocket consultant. We don't come to Scripture with some ideas and presuppositions and ask it to supplement us. Scripture has to be our starting point, the lens through which we interpret everything. Remember, we're not evaluating the Bible with our reasoning. We're evaluating our reasoning with the Bible. I often give this illustration as I'm counseling or teaching. We cannot come from our situation, our circumstances, the things we've experienced, even our own reasoning, and come to the Bible and demand that the Bible support what we already believe. We actually have to come to the Bible first and look at our circumstances, our experiences, our logic, our conclusions through God's word as if we're putting it on like glasses. Sola Scriptura. You know the five solas. Well, one of them is Scripture alone. Scripture alone is our highest earthly authority. But this idea of Scripture alone, it's not just a fun theological term to know or something to print on a t-shirt or practice in our churches. This is about our epistemology. You like that? That's your $10 big word for the day. Epistemology. It's just our view of how we can know anything at all. Epistemology is just basically how people decide what's true and the study of how people gain knowledge about things. From a secular perspective, knowledge is based on reason and evidence and observation and things like the scientific method. So it's stuff that can be measured or tested or logically deduced. And the goal is neutrality. So always keeping an open mind without accepting claims just because they come from tradition or authority. On the flip side, the Christian worldview is really just the opposite. The Christian worldview of epistemology is we know what's true and gain knowledge from the authority of God's word. If we don't start with God's revelation, we are left in the dark. And the culture's going to offer us a thousand little flashlights of neutral reason and common ground and shared truths and all the things that the culture offers to try to light our path. But none of that works because Scripture says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. This is super clear. God's word is the one thing that can light up, can illuminate where we should step next. His word is compared to a lamp. We get just enough light to see the next step and light for the whole path ahead so that we can avoid sin, so that we can see where the right place is to put our feet, so we can be dependent on God's word for guidance, to know what to do and how to handle ourselves and what to think in moments of uncertainty. So one of my friends says it like this, what does it say? And he's talking about God's word. Now, how do we obey? If you're listening to this and you're feeling convicted, that's actually good news. Maybe you've bought into the lie that neutrality of thought is a way to show kindness to someone, or that finding common ground is a great way to love your neighbor. But now you're recognizing that it's only not kind and not loving, but it's actually rebellion against God. Well, don't panic, because conviction is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift from God when it leads to repentance and and realigning us to the truth of God's word and reorienting ourselves around the Lordship of Christ. So this is a good thing. You get to choose scripture or self. Who are you going to believe? When it comes down to it, you got a choice to make. Are you going to believe what yourself thinks? Or are you going to believe what scripture says? Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, of course, Joshua is challenging the people of Israel here to make a choice. Are they going to serve God, the one true living God, or the other gods that their ancestors were worshiping? And Joshua concludes, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the choice you get to make. Every time you face a question, whether it's a moral dilemma or a political or philosophical issue or a personal decision that you have to make, you have to ask, what authority am I standing on? Am I standing on popular opinion, what people are going to think? Maybe I'm standing on my feelings, how this is going to make me feel. You could even be standing on what the culture hands out as common sense. Or are you standing on the authority of the revealed, unchanging word of the living God? Here's the part where I'm really straightforward with you. You can't mix them. You can't have one foot on the, I believe in the revealed, unchanging word of the living God, and another foot on, well, what does the culture think? What does my friend think? What's popular opinion? How about my feelings? There's no halfway loyalty in the kingdom of God. There's no space or option for neutrality. You're either submitted to Christ or you're standing in rebellion. No option C, no door number three. So how do we live this out? We have to stop pretending that the world gets to set the rules. The world doesn't get to set the rules as hard as they might try. We also have to stop apologizing for starting with the Bible. Most of my friends and family know that my authority is God's word. Do your friends and family know that? Don't apologize. Just state where you're coming from. Well, you know that the Bible is my authority, and therefore I have to say what God says about this situation, about this line of thinking. And listen, we've got to stop thinking that we need to make God reasonable to human minds before we can trust him, that we have to make God align with human reasoning before we can say he is the truth, the absolute truth, and so is his word. We've got to plant both feet on the word of God, speak with confidence, we got to think with clarity and be bold. Because our foundation, when it's God's word, it's unshakable. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, forever, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. And that's the better way. No, it's not easy. No, it's usually not the popular way to go, but it's true. And it's what leads to life. So let me ask you this. Are you reading scripture as the final word in your life? Or is it just one voice among many? Are you consulting God's word as one of the things, one of the places you go to seek wisdom? Or is it the final, ultimate word in your life? When you engage with culture, with political ideology, with scientific findings, with all the things that are presented to us in our world today, do you start with God's word as your lens? Or do you take all these things first and then try to force God's word to fit what you have read or discovered or heard? Maybe you're secretly hoping that the world will find Christianity reasonable. That shouldn't be your mindset. You've got to stand on the power of the Holy Spirit to open eyes and hearts through the truth of the gospel. This is how people's hearts and minds are changed. So when someone engages you in a conversation or you are listening to something that is calling you to start from a place of neutral thought, watch for those words and phrases: objectiveness, neutral ground, common ground, tolerance. Let's be reasonable. Let's start with the facts. Don't bring your Bible into this. Remember, neutral thought, neutral thinking, this idea that we can start from a neutral place is impossible. It is a myth. You do not have to play by the world's rules. Don't play their game. Don't buy what they're selling. Start with the word. Stand on the word and let everything else fall into place beneath it. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't have to worry. When we start with the word and we submit to the word and we live by the word, it's because we trust the God who gave it. I want to leave you with one more quote from Bahnsen today. To honor Christ as Lord in our thinking means that we must recognize his word as the standard of truth, not our experience, not majority opinion, not even neutral logic. And listen, the more you walk in this, you're going to find that peace and confidence and clarity that you're wanting. And you'll be able to stand firm on the truth that neutrality of thought is not only impossible, it's rebellion against God. And now that you know the better way to think about the source of truth for your thinking, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glossin, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glossin, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.